concerns that I think exists, or at least it existed to me as a dental director within a larger organization, was monitoring the quality of the care that was being provided. And I was really relying upon my lab or my group of labs that were on my lab formulary that my dentists were using to alert me if there was a consistent problem, if somebody wasn't giving them an impression that they could produce a really good crown on. And the ability to arm a dental director within a larger organization with the ability to jump in and look at a selection of scans, I think would be a huge asset to not only the mentorship angle, which I think is the right way to approach it, but also the patient care, so that I know that 10 years from now or 5 years from now, I'm not going to be replacing that crown and paying potentially a dentist again to provide that same care. So that's another asset I think that we get out of a scan that preserves that image of what has been produced. I think it's a great quality control asset, both at the single practice, but even in a larger setting with multiple practices and multiple providers, I think it becomes even a greater asset from the standpoint that those providers tend to move and maybe relocate or maybe exit the organization to go do their own thing.
Yeah, I would think if I was in that situation, I think it's a easier way to give constructive criticism, maybe. But that's along those same lines, that's the good and bads of digital, because you blow your image up to be about the size of my head and there's nowhere to hide, right? I mean, the dentistry and the prep is what it is. So I think to even go further, I think the digital aspect, it's made me a better dentist, because when you blow an image up to be the size of my head and you rotate it 360 degrees around, there is no, it's pretty cut and dry. There's not a lot of gray area, so to speak. And so it's good and bad.
But if a dentist was coming, I guess I would put it in the terms of, so a dentist comes to talk to Dr. Lillis and maybe see one of his presentations, and then you're describing patient care that he's providing back or she's providing back and forth. The ability to send an image of what that prep is and how much clearance I have, and and to do that all digitally allows you to really give them much better input if you were coaching them.
Yeah, even one more thing on that is with some of the softwares nowadays, you can do, like, for example, there's other ones out there like TeamViewer. So if you're...
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
Well, so this is how my laboratory technician and I communicate. And I'm my own worst enemy, by the way, because some of the labs that I work with now are long ways away. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of opened the borders up a little bit. So a lot of technicians that you may or may not have wanted, that you could have, if you want to keep things local, you don't need to anymore. But if you're communicating with that dentist, you can hop on TeamViewer, and there's other ones that you can use, and you can actually show them all of the scan, and you can be sitting in your place in Montana,
right,
and your dentist group could be in Milwaukee, and you can have a conversation basically like you're sitting next to them through this technology. And that's how the labs then communicate with me, is that when we're doing our mock-ups, things like that, we just jump on TeamViewer sessions, and it's literally like I have the technician right with me. That's huge. So you can manipulate the images. So if you're trying to give feedback to a dentist on why his crowns aren't fitting, or why the margins just are open, or all the challenges that come with dentistry, You can do that now in a remote setting. So enormous advantages to dentists that are working with or mentoring younger dentists in a large group setting. That's just another avenue that I think is, if I were in that situation, I would really like that a lot.
I think one of the challenging things for the younger clinicians today is that the model of how practices transition has changed some. So we see less of that associate dentist coming in to a senior doctor's practice that can mentor that person along, share experiences, share a lot of the knowledge, and you know, the young clinician can learn and grow in that protective environment. I think many times today they're either potentially buying a dental practice and the senior doctor is exiting the practice, or maybe they're going into a DSO or a support organization where they're positioned in an office where there isn't a senior provider. And so that direct one-on-one mentorship is, I think it's less available to them than what it was in the past. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And so I think that your lab coaching to some degree has taken on a stronger suit because the lab technicians just have that breadth of experience that is so hard, is much harder for that young dentist to access. When you're out speaking with them, do you hear some of those
100%.
Frustrations?
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm in the minority. My grandfather was my mentor. I grew up five houses from him. He was a dentist in Iowa, and I was in the lab at 14, waxing and casting gold restorations. So that's not, you know, for all those years, you know, I was right there with him. And so that doesn't happen very much anymore. I think we're seeing a lot of doctors kind of retiring and then just jetting out of the practice, and a new doctor comes in and they're kind of like sink or swim. So the technician is right there to kind of help them navigate through difficult cases, to navigate through challenging situations. And honestly, sometimes it's their bailout of stuff that's going south in a hurry.
Right.
So yeah, the technician, especially a technician that's a senior technician that's been through a lot of dentistry over the years, day in, day out, they can really provide these kids with a lot of mentorship.
I would encourage those younger dentists to lean on their lab technicians a little bit more. Go ahead and ask them the question, hey, have you seen something like this before? And maybe what are some of the, you know, treatment strategies that I could use to restore that case? I've had experiences where, I've gotten a call from one of my dentists on the telephone saying, you know, Dr. Moose, I have this patient in front of me and, you know, I need to reline this denture, but I've never done a denture reline before.
Yeah.
How do I go about doing that? And, you know, I think when I heard that, it was like
eye-opening. Right?
You know, it was very eye-opening to me that, if I was standing right next to him, it would be so easy for me to just show him how to do that procedure in a quality way. And that's just something very simple.
Yeah, I mean, to go a step further, how about, you know, I encourage a lot of young dentists to go to the lab. I mean, I'm a little dumbfounded on how many few dentists actually go to their dental laboratory, because
very few.
Yeah, and you can learn, oh my gosh, you can learn so much dentistry sitting in the lab. You know, I mean, this is coming from a guy that I did a ton of lab work. So you can, if you go to your lab and just sit there and they can show you exactly what's going on. And by the way, then you know what they can work with and what they can't work with. And you know their workflows. And it just I think it's almost critical that you go to the laboratory. I really do. And if your lab's out of state, you fly there and spend a day with them, spend a couple of days with them. And it bonds you with the technician too. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people to even go to the laboratory and sit with them and see what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
Right.